As noted in a recent column by my guest this hour, in a ruling that came as a surprise to many, the Supreme Court of the United States upheld key elements of the Trump administration's so-called travel ban. President Trump is claiming the ruling is a clear victory for our national security. But my guest asks, is a temporary travel pause from six countries a true national security victory? Well, joining us to talk about it, Cliff Smith is Washington Project Director with the Middle East Forum, a great organization, folks, doing great work since 1994. As a matter of fact, they are an independent 501c3 promoting American interests in the Middle East, protecting Western values from Middle Eastern threats since that time. And Cliff has been involved in this for a number of years, also here on the Hill as well. Cliff, it's an honor to welcome you to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much, Don. I appreciate it.
Early in your column, you noted the president's original travel ban was had a lot of flaws in it. Unconstitutional, I think, were your words. Unacceptable, unworkable, unstrategic. Let's start there. What were some of those original flaws, and have they been pretty much corrected even for the short term?
Yeah, I think they have. Basically, President, then-candidate Trump, said that he wanted a, ban on Muslims until we figure out what's happening, I believe were his exact words. And that just is unworkable for a lot of reasons. I think that having an explicitly religious test is not only constitutionally problematic, I think it's very difficult to implement practically. I think it, you can't really tell. Somebody is a particular religion because they say so. I mean, it's not necessarily in their DNA. You can't necessarily know who was one religion or another. It's also unworkable because it's not good for national security, frankly. We have a lot of Muslim allies in the Middle East and elsewhere, and, banning them from traveling to the U.S. Is not only not helpful, it's counterproductive. Now, banning it to travel from six, countries that were already, signaled out for scrutiny, Iran, which is the world's least leading sponsor of terror, Syria, which is a failed state, so on and so forth. There's some understandable reasons for that. I understand that, especially when it comes to Syrian refugees, people are worried about not being able to vet them properly, things of that nature. However, in the end of the day, there are anti-Ayatollah, anti-radical Islamic Iranians. I know some of them personally. They hate the regime. They do not like theocracy. They want some form of American democracy, everybody as much as you or I do. Mm-hmm. There are other ones that support it. So the real issue is their ideology, not the country they're from. So I don't necessarily see the pause as really doing a lot. I mean, it blocks perhaps some bad guys, and it has probably blocked a few bad guys from getting here, perhaps. But it's also blocked some good people from here. And in the long run, it doesn't really solve the long-term problems. In the long run, what we need to look at is who are these people? What do they believe? If they believe in democracy, if they believe in freedom of religion, if they believe in things of that nature, I have no argument with them. I don't think we should either. I think they're our friends and allies, or at least have that potential. If they believe in theocracy, if they believe in implementing Islamic law on everybody as a government, if they believe in don't believe in the Constitution, that's a different story. I don't think they're our friends. I don't think they're our allies, and I don't think that we should be giving them freedom to live here just because for some reason they feel they want to. I think that is helping our enemies.
And isn't that really the systemic problem we've had even through the Bush years and the Obama years? Reticence, if not outright rejection of identifying the ideology as what it is, radical Islam, and certainly not every Muslim deserves to be tarred with that brush, so to speak, but that's the distinction that our various administrations have just been loath to speak of or use as some sort of litmus test. Am I right?
I agree with you. I think that when the Bush administration started to grapple with this problem after 9/11, it didn't want to, understandably, did not want to get in a war with Islam, which is perfectly acceptable and understandable. However, to not recognize that there is an ideology that is, attached to Islam, that is somehow related to Islam, that is a threat to us, is simply refusing to acknowledge the problem. I do not think that, for example, there are people that lean to the left in this country and other countries that were not communists, that were not friends of the Soviet Union, that did not believe in, the things that, Karl Marx or Stalin believed in. I do not think we did them or anybody else any favors by refusing to acknowledge that communism existed or by worrying too much that they might feel included. You need to know what your opponents believe and what they're willing to do to achieve their goals in order to defeat them. And I do think that radical Islamic ideology, while it does not speak for most or Muslims, it's a much small minority, but a potent minority that believe in it. I do not think we're going to defeat that real threat by refusing to name it, by refusing to learn about it, and by refusing to fight not only those people that subscribe to it, but to fight the ideology. One of the terrorist organization's best tools has been to radicalize people domestically and here in Europe. And until we get a handle on what their ideology is and learn to fight the ideology, things like that are going to keep happening.
Talking with Cliff Smith, he's the Washington Project Director with the Middle East Forum. He serves as a liaison for MEF's MEF and the decision makers, opinion leaders here in the capital. As well, he's a veteran of a number of campaigns himself, held several positions in Congress. As I understand, most recently, communications director for U.S. Representative Gary Palmer. So he has acquaintance with inside Washington, so to speak, and how it works. And one thing you said in your column, if I may, Cliff, lost in all of this is that a major national security triumph is within Trump's grasp if his administration follows its own stated logic for a temporary ban to create space for a review of our immigrant vetting procedures. Worthy goal hasn't thus far gone unfulfilled. Elaborate on that point.
I think that we need to identify people that buy into this ideology and not let them immigrate here. It's really quite simple. We should ask them questions. Do you believe that the law of your religion supersedes the Constitution on this earth? Do you believe that women should have to, ask their husband's permission to get educated or drive, things of this nature that are common to radical Islam, but not common to moderate Muslims, not common to Christians, or not common to secularists of other sorts, whatever they may be, it doesn't really matter. The issue is people that do share these beliefs in a radical Islamic ideology shouldn't be included, and they should be not allowed to immigrate here. This is not unusual to American history. We have at various times banned people that had ideologies that we thought were threatening to our national security. After President McKinley was assassinated by an anarchist, we banned anybody that was an anarchist from coming to the United States. We had various regulations throughout the Cold War that were aimed at stopping communists that believed in a communist ideology and coming here. We still, to this day, have laws on the books that ban anybody that has formal association with a communist party from coming here. I think it is not unreasonable to update those laws to say, look, we should question people that want to immigrate here about their ideology, and we don't care what religion you are. You can be a Muslim, but if you believe in, some sort of Islamic theocracy, that is a problem. You are a threat to our national security if you want to supplant the Constitution and don't believe in our basic way of life, and they should not be allowed. That would be a small but still sizable part of the Islamic world, but, the vast majority of it wouldn't affect. The bottom line is, though, we should update our procedures to when these people are being interviewed, when they are being considered to be allowed to immigrate here. We should know what they believe, and if they don't believe in a system that is compatible with the Constitution or our way of life, then there's lots of other people that want to come here, frankly, and lots of other people that do believe in our way of life from all walks, from all religions and all corners of the world that should be allowed instead.
And toward the end of your column, you say, of course, people can lie about their beliefs when seeking entry, and extremists are most likely to do that. But you also said polite interrogation by immigration staff trained in directing questioning to expose inconsistencies altogether really is a workable possibility. And as I understand it, that's one of the things that has been key to Israel's success in terms of its own security. They do have a way of profiling people when they come into a country to know who they are in these areas. Am I right?
I'm not intimately familiar with Israel's procedures in these matters, but that's my basic understanding is similar to that as well.
And again, this is not an attack in that case on someone's religious beliefs per se, but the ideology that we've all been battling with. It seems to me that the perhaps not the American people so much as the government itself has been unwilling to identify the fact that this religion has been severely radicalized in the minds of some. And as a result, they fear addressing that for fear of creating animus toward and from a whole religious group, namely Islam.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. I think it's unfortunate, but when you have an ideology married to a religion for whatever reason, you can't ignore that fact because it simply is part of that ideology. To understand what they believe is to realize that it is tied to religion, but that it is not all of those people. And so I think we need to learn that distinction and make that distinction rather than simply denying that such a thing exists.
Good thoughts. Thank you for talking with us about it, Cliff. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I had a good time. Appreciate it.
Again, Cliff Smith. Clifford Smith is the Washington Project Director with a great organization. I've referenced them for myself for many years, Daniel Pipes and Middle East Forum, meforum.org. meforum.org is their website, and he is the Washington Project Director for that organization.